ADP uses data-driven insights to design HR solutions to help businesses of all sizes think beyond today so they can find more success tomorrow. ADP, always designing for HR, talent, time, payroll, people.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, April 6th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Amazon, it's an e-commerce giant, owner of the grocery chain Whole Foods. It has a streaming service, a large cloud computing arm, and soon it could be providing your broadband internet. To do it, Amazon's planning to launch thousands of web-providing satellites into space. So why is the company making this move now? And what challenges could it face? Our aerospace reporter Doug Cameron joins us to discuss. That's after these headlines. Cyber officials in Ukraine say that Russian cyber attacks on critical Ukrainian infrastructure continued to grow late last month. They say the attacks were mostly attempts to gather information and spread malware, and that the country's security and defense, telecoms, and energy sectors were among the most targeted. Globally, financial companies have also been seen as a potential target for Russian hackers. But the head of the banking industry's intelligence sharing group told a U.S. congressional hearing on Tuesday that banks haven't seen a marked increase in cyber attacks since the start of the war. Twitter says it'll appoint Tesla CEO Elon Musk to its board of directors. On yesterday's show, we talked about how Musk just became Twitter's biggest shareholder with a 9% stake. Well, now the social media platform plans to bring Musk, who's been one of its loudest critics, into the fold. Our tech reporter Sarah Needleman explains what that could mean for the company.
As a power user, he has ideas about what could potentially make the service better. He's talked about introducing the edit button that people seem to be interested in. And certainly he has a technology through Tesla, machine learning and AI technology that could perhaps lend itself to Twitter's content moderation practices. And he could also just, you know, rally his supporters around him to suggest ideas and bring them forward and see what might come of that.
You can hear more from Sarah on last night's episode of our sister podcast, What's News? General Motors and Honda plan to join forces in developing affordable electric vehicles. The companies say they'll work together on the underlying technology that would be used to produce several electric models. They say splitting the development expenses and working together to reduce battery costs, the most expensive part of an EV, will let them drive down the car's overall price while producing at a global scale. The first of the vehicles, likely to be priced below $30,000 in the U.S., won't be ready until 2027. The fintech company Block, formerly known as Square, says an ex-employee accessed customer data without the company's permission last December. The information included full names and brokerage account numbers on customers who'd used Block's stock trading service, Cash App Investing. The company says it started an investigation and it's contacted 8.2 million current and former customers about the incident, as well as regulators and law enforcement. And South Korea has dealt a blow to Google and its in-app payment system. The Alphabet unit had threatened to remove South Korean app developers who offered ways of collecting in-app payments outside of Google's Play Store. But Korea's Communications Commission issued legal guidance yesterday, saying that would breach the country's app payment law. That law, the first of its kind in the world, prohibits app stores from blocking alternative options. Google didn't comment on the legal guidance. All right, coming up, SpaceX has a lead in providing satellite-based broadband internet, but now Amazon is looking to jump into the market. Can it catch up? We'll discuss after the break.
Bristol-Myers Squibb is committed to advancing health equity and delivering innovative medicines that help improve outcomes for all patients. That means ensuring our clinical trials reflect the diversity of our communities. It means partnering with organizations that promote awareness, screenings, and care management in underserved areas. And it means fulfilling our vision of transforming patients' lives through science. Visit bms.com to learn more.
Space launch companies have been busy lately, as businesses rush to send satellites of all sorts into orbit. Joining that group looking to book launches? Amazon. Yesterday, the e-commerce giant said it secured up to 83 planned launches to ferry broadband satellites into orbit over the next 5 years. Its plan, known as Project Kuiper, is just one that's competing to provide internet service through a web of satellites. The current market leader, Elon Musk's SpaceX, is well ahead with its Starlink project. So, why is Amazon getting into the market, and what hurdles does it face in trying to overtake the competition? Joining us to discuss this is The Wall Street Journal's global aerospace reporter, Doug Cameron. Hi, Doug.
Hi, Zoe.
Doug, can you start by explaining the possibilities of satellite-provided broadband? I mean, why would any company want to move forward with this kind of thing?
Just the sheer explosion in internet usage worldwide has attracted millions of customers, but most of that has required digging up roads for cable. Now, the way to reach people who've not been able to access it is to beam it from the sky. The technology is there. You just open up a far broader potential market if you can use satellite provision rather than some sort of land-based cables.
And so who are the customers for this? Is this something you or I would buy, or are they providing this to companies?
Well, at first blush, it seems that, yes, emerging markets where there is not the infrastructure, it seems like the typical market, and that was how it was first presented. But if you just look at the sort of broadband deserts in the US, in large parts of Europe, you're talking about, big parts of the global economy, big parts of the global population. In fact, the majority of the global population doesn't have access to nice fast fiber cables that you might be used to in big US cities.
So give us the lay of the land then. What does this market for satellite broadband look like now?
There are three main companies hoping to blanket the world in satellite internet coverage. The problem with satellite internet coverage is that these satellites need to be relatively close to Earth, which means that you need a lot of them. SpaceX has talked about having as many as 40,000. Amazon's talking about initial 12, 15,000. OneWeb, the third player, also talking about thousands of satellites. So that's raised a number of concerns. First, are there enough rockets to get them all up there? Secondly, you may have read about space junk and space debris. If you're talking about, tens of thousands of satellites, and maybe some of them don't work, so you have to send up a few thousand more. Just the risk of collisions in an increasingly crowded near-Earth space has certainly raised concerns that, can you get to a stage where it's very difficult to put anything up there without hitting something else?
All right. Why does Amazon, then, in particular, want to get into the broadband satellite market?
There's two attractions for Amazon, just as there is for SpaceX and Elon Musk. First is the pure business proposition. There is, a market there for fast internet delivered from space, from satellites. The technology is there. So that's the pure business angle. And then there's the more philosophical belief on both of these founders, on Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk, in terms of how space can benefit mankind going forward. Lo and behold, they both develop space launch companies, but what those rocket makers need is customers to fund development. And lo and behold, broadband is kind of the most immediate market and money-generating opportunity to use those rockets, which, in Mr. Musk's belief will ultimately get humankind to Mars, and in Mr. Bezos's belief will create, at least colonies in near-Earth space and perhaps beyond. So there is a business argument, and there's also a philosophical belief in how they believe space is going to be developed. Broadband helps them get a little bit closer to both of those targets.
Let's talk a bit about the overlap between Amazon, which wants to send these satellites up, and Blue Origin, Jeff Bezos's other company, his space company, which is actually one of the launch companies Amazon plans to rely on to get those satellites into space. Have there been any concerns about the overlap there?
Mr. Bezos, since he stepped back from the day-to-day running of Amazon, has devoted the bulk of his time, he said, and indeed much of his own resources to Blue Origin. The problem is that Blue Origin is something like 4 or 5 years behind in the development of its rockets compared with SpaceX. SpaceX has been sending up literally dozens of rockets every year and reusing them, which lowers the cost. Blue Origin is yet to do that, and it's also developing an engine for another of the rocket launch providers that Amazon plans to use. That engine is years behind. So the biggest risk is that Amazon is relying on Blue Origin with Mr. Bezos at its helm, but actually none of these rockets it's planning to use have actually been into space yet.
So one of the challenges is getting the rockets into space, and I understand Amazon has to use larger rockets than some other companies are using. Is that right? And why would they have to do that?
Amazon could have at least tried to use SpaceX, which is perfectly adequate. He sends up Mr. Musk's satellites already. Whether SpaceX said no or whether Amazon chose to go purely for its own in-house rocket maker and anybody but SpaceX is a question they haven't answered yet. Yes, they do need to send up dozens of satellites at a time to make this economic. That's what they hope to do with their three partners. SpaceX can do that. Of course, you know, Russian rockets could do that too, but now you have Soyuz, the Russian state-owned rocket provider, sort of taken out of the equation now for Western providers. So what Amazon has done is basically bought up all the sort of spare launch capacity over the next 5 years from everybody except SpaceX.
You know, Amazon is already a really big company. We're familiar with it from, you know, shopping online or streaming, or maybe we use their cloud services. And now they want to add broadband. Are there risks that come with this kind of massive scope?
The biggest risk for Amazon is execution. It's proven adept at diversifying in the past from a retailer into bricks and mortar retailing with Whole Foods. It's basically set up its own airline so it can improve its distribution. Obviously, it's used its technological prowess to set up this cloud service. So it makes sense to almost make a horizontal move into broadband, which will help feed the space business, as well as providing another revenue stream. The problem is, can they pull this off in a relatively short period? They have to get these thousands of satellites, or at least half of them, up there by around the middle of the decade under their current license with the FCC in the US. So they're working in a very tight timetable, relying on three rockets that haven't made it into space yet. So it's tough for them to execute.
All right, that's our aerospace and defense reporter, Doug Cameron. Thanks so much for joining us, Doug.
Okay, thanks so much, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. But before we go, a reminder that we want you to send us your tech-related questions about the war in Ukraine. Do you want to know more about how cyber attacks are being used in the war? How social media is dealing with information and misinformation about the crisis? Or maybe how it's affecting tech companies both in and outside Ukraine? Leave us a voicemail at 212-498-8852. We're planning on answering these questions in an upcoming episode. Once again, that number is 212-498-8852. We look forward to hearing from you. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.